Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist and Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon, and you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 264. I'm Josiah Sapp for the villain on Twitter at comic_syndicate on Instagram. What's up, guys? I have a huge show this week with a lot of stories, so sit back, relax. I'm going to tell you a grip load of them right now. First off, I'm going to hit it the way I normally do, what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Episode 164, we entitled hashtag The Devil's Waltz. At Mem the Beaner and at For the Villain play catch up. Hit what we spoke about 100 episodes ago, then go into football talk, NFL week 10 predictions, then finally wrap up hashtag spooky story talk with top 10 nightmares and what they mean. 5 dream facts you probably didn't know, then jump into Twisted Town / reoccurring nightmare talk. Again, for the month of October, I like to wrap up and just have a month of spooky stories and urban legends, myths that we've all heard. And I like to just dissect and go deep on those. So this October, I think I have a few stories as well. It's hard to run that solo now, but I think I can still pull some stunts off. Then roll some comic talk, comic news, email received for a new comic. And this is honestly something I'm guilty of 100 episodes, 2 years later, is I get hit up a lot on Twitter. And, hey, can you please review my work? I feel bad because I do work a lot. And now with this, it's just juggling everything. And I'm like, yeah, sure, when I get some time. And I feel bad, like people are hounding me just to read and review and check out their stuff. And I do check it out, and a lot of it looks dope, and I gotta make my rounds to do that. But it's a thing, so we do get hit up a lot. I still get hit up a lot, just to review stuff. The Simpsons renewed through record-setting 30 seasons, live-action Voltron film on the way, writer leaves Sandman movie, and that sucks. The whole idea of Sandman as a movie now has been scrapped. Joseph Gordon-Levitt was the last person that was going to be involved in it. And now, recently, within the past few months, granted 2 years later, we have talk about a Sandman show happening. And the Dream, the World of Dream. Aquaman movie to start pre-production this month. Daredevil and Jessica Jones soundtrack get their own vinyls. Doctor Strange box office opening numbers. Then the crew finally rounds some comic reviews. Batman number 10, Aquaman number 10, Superman number 10, and Avengers number 1. I believe that was the beginning of Batman. I guess the DC rebirth event. Because after the New 52, they kind of relaunched with number 1s again. And I believe, again, the rebirth part of it. All right, bullet points. I have a grip just to get through with this alone. So Star Wars Celebration is scheduled for 2020 in Anaheim. It's going to be August 27th through August 30th, 2020. They're already sold out, and this is old news. I try to put in for my press passes and media passes. And for some reason, those are the ones that are still, I guess, held off on for now. But even speaking of conventions, I have already submitted my credentials for the Los Angeles Comic Con, which was the former Stanley Comic Con, Stanley Kamikaze. So now it's just the Los Angeles Comic Con, so I'm in for that. I'm probably going to round up some interviews for that as well. My next bullet point is going to be the Comic Syndicate Fantasy Football League 2019 is up. I got my email, which is about a month ago, and I love this because I get to interact with my friends and listeners and everyone on a different way or in a different way on a different wavelength, because now it's like we don't talk comics or pop culture. We bust each other's balls as far as this is fucking football. And it's just so fucking fun. The room, the chat room used to get so fucking ruthless. Shit I can't even say on air because we get rowdy in there. But yeah, let me just introduce the contestants. And we have a few remaining guys from last year. We have Gabriel is going to be leading Gabriel's team. Rick is leading Team Gold-Blooded. Sadie is leading Team. It's fucking Molten. David is back again, leading Team Tustin Giants. And Paul is leading Team Who Will Survive. Yours truly at For the Villain is leading Team Sick Witted. Well, I keep saying Tim. Leading Team Sick Witted. Winner gets a chance to co-host the show with me. And I really need to get in contact with David because I believe he won last year. I think it was him and Sadie in the playoffs last year. And I have spoken to David and we normally do movie date nights together, mandated. And he's just cool to hang out with and talk to. So to catch a game with him during season, I always love doing that, hitting up Danny Kay's or wherever we can, even just to grab a beer and chit-chat. That's what it is. I have 4 slots available as of right now, but I can add up to 6 more people. We have 6 people in the league. I normally like to keep it like at a 12-man league. So if any of you listeners are interested, it's free to play. Although this year, these 6 guys want to do a money league. And it's like, I always wanted to keep this free for listeners. Like, I've never tried it, and this is a great place to start for free. You don't have to pay any money for it. These guys are really down to earth and fun and funny, and they will help you out. And they're legit good guys to be in a fantasy football league with because they won't fuck you over. They're just going to bust your balls. But as far as that goes, I still have slots open, and I have 2 more people that need to confirm if they're back again this year. I had to kick out a few people, and I'm thinking about hitting up Alan because I don't think RG is going to be down to do this one again this year. Anyways, all right, winner gets a future slot to co-host with me. This is going to be, next one is going to be other news, I guess. Well, I was messaged yesterday, so today is Wednesday I'll tell you right now, August 14th. So a week exactly from last week that I'm recording, so consistent Wednesdays. I was messaged yesterday by Anton in our chat room we have on this side. And this is our summer movie draft chat for the most part. And he shot current numbers and he started off by saying pretty much right off the bat, like, fuck, this fucking sucks. And he put up this spreadsheet snaps of how we're looking. So this is a fun fantasy football draft, but with movies. Guys, I've been doing it for about 5 years with these guys now, and Alan and Anton from the 2OC podcast put it together. This is their pride and joy. This is their little mind child baby, and it's a beautiful fucking baby, the way Alan has refined it and got it down to a science so well with the spreadsheets and the numbers each week and him keeping track of everything. And granted, it's a lot of formulas you just type in for spreadsheets, but he does a great job maintaining it. And I did not think I was going to come close to anything this year. I'm like, I'm pissed. I have 3 movies. I'm out already. So in this league, again, it's my friends and coworkers. So we do have in the league, it's going to be Anton and Alan from the 2OC podcast, Carl, Vixen, RG, Roslyn, and Carl's daughter, Gianna. These are the placings. Now, even before the placings, let me explain this summer movie league. Every summer we get together about a month before summer movies drop, and we each buy in, and we get quote-unquote 100 credits. We purchase movies live auction draft, pull each movie of the summer one by one out of a box or a fucking hat, and we bet on that. We have up to 100 credits to use. The goal is to purchase as many high-grossing movies as you can of the summer. All the movies you have accumulated, those 4-week domestic, only 4-week opening domestic for each movie, go towards your pot. And it's all, again, each movie you have. So you're just stockpiling this amount of money, quote unquote, that your movies are making. Winner at the end gets a majority of the pot, and I believe second place gets their money back and their extra 20. So you come up twice as much. I forget what it is. So it's always fun, and even these drafts we do live are awesome. They're fun. We get to shoot the shit. We get to bust each other's balls and to see everyone's facial expressions. And everyone likes fucking with me because I've won this league about 4 times already. So they never want to see me win. And that's why I love them. And that's why also why I hate them. But 4th place we have Gianna, Carl's daughter. her second year playing, she's in fourth place with $459 million. And she only had three movies. Her highest grossing movie was Spider-Man, by the way. In third place, we have Rosalind. This is her second year playing as well, I believe. And she's in third place right now with $488 million, but she had nine movies compiled together. I believe her movie was Toy Story 4 she had picked up, was her highest grossing. Second place from the 2OC podcast is going to be Alan. He currently is sitting at $614 million, and he had nine movies as well. I believe his biggest movie was Aladdin. I think. And first place currently, and we have about 4 to 5 weeks to go with every movie that's dropping this weekend, and I believe possibly next weekend, that puts us about 5 weeks out in the first place spot with $669 million. Holy shit. With three movies, yeah. I'm looking at the numbers and I'm like, wow, it's crazy. So technically I need them... the remaining movies just to suck. And I can win this with three movies. My highest grossing movie was Lion King, so that fucking scored huge for me. So $669 million, and I'm kind of cool with that. So it's looking good. I'm looking sharp. Again, did not think I would come close to winning this, and I might run away with another, I think, a fifth title by this time. So I'm the guy they always need to beat, and you know what? Fuck me. Damn, I'm fucking good. All right, last bullet point is going to be I need to start working on my list for the end of the year podcast. Now we're in the month of August, a few weeks in now, but I really have to put together my best of the year candidates list, which is just fucking work, and it's literally the best of the year, the best of movies, the best of shows, the best of TV shows that I did catch, the best of, fuck it, a sporting event, the best concert I went to, whatever that might be, the best movie of the year, the best comics of the year, the best artist duo, writer team, the best consistent single issue of the year. I stretch it out, and I do have my list. I always stockpile my list, and it's just going through those lists and always compiling it to a top five or even top three, depending on how I attack it. It is weird, but I am working on that list. All right, guys, let's hit it. I have too much to go through, so, and even my comic review, honestly, is going to be very... very long, and it's just going to be very extensive for the most part. All right, guys, here we go. Coming to America sequel cast Wesley Snipes as Eddie Murphy's nemesis. All right, I loved Coming to America Part 1, and did it need a sequel? I don't know, but everything needs to be sequelized, I guess, in today's world. All right, we have a... oh, this is just a funny one on behalf, because... my second job, I do work at a movie theater, and I do work bartender, barista, and honestly, I do work the box office sometimes. Actually, I do have a schedule this weekend for box. So, MoviePass reportedly changed users' passwords prior to Infinity War's debut. It's a pretty much a subscription service, and you get to watch as many movies as you want for that month because you're paying this subscription service. They've fucked over a lot of people, and I've seen the people they've been fucking over. But to know they've been this shady about everything, that according to Business Insider, former employees of MoviePass claimed company CEO Mitch Lowe told them to change the passwords of a small percentage of what they described as quote-unquote power users. The move was made ahead of the release of Infinity War, a small percentage of what they described as, no, there you go. To block people last minute by changing their passwords, quote unquote, and then jumping on and saying, oh, it was a glitch in our system, quote unquote. That's a bunch of bullshit. I was on the 2OC podcast about a year ago by now, and I'm like, I don't see them running much longer than a year out, and it looks like they're on their way out. This one's another interesting one. Loot Crate Files, Chapter 11. Lays off dozens. So anyone that's familiar with a comic pop culture, Loot Crate, more subscription stuff. Loot Crate Files, Chapter 11. Loot Crate, the leading geek and gaming subscription box service since 2012, has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy and has laid off about 50 employees, according to the LA Times. Its credit card processor is withholding customer billings. Loot Crate hasn't shipped goods tied to $20 million in sales, and the company owes more than $30 million in trade debt. Additionally, the company owes more than $5.87 million in sales taxes. So, yeah, they're pretty much on their way out as well. It's an interesting subscription service. It's honestly kind of cool. It depends on which tier you go. And they do send you some pretty dope, random, hard-to-find shit. It's all right. I can't see myself doing it on a month-by-month basis, you know? Like, it's like a good Christmas present type of deal for someone. But besides that, like, you got to know which crates are coming out. Like, if it's sci-fi, if it's villain month, or if it's, you know, whatever it might be. That's the weird thing to go about. All right, man, here you guys go with some decent news. Speaking of Sandman earlier, Sandman's death stars in DC's latest animated short. So I love the world of Sandman and Dreaming, and just Neil Gaiman's vision of it was dope. DC's latest animated film, Wonder Woman, Bloodlines, animated, here you hear that, comes with an animated short starring Death from Neil Gaiman's Sandman. Death, the fan favorite recurring character from Neil Gaiman's groundbreaking Vertigo Comics series, The Sandman, is making her official debut outside of comic books in a brand new animated short. Among the special features announced for the upcoming DC animated original movie Wonder Woman Bloodlines is an animated short featuring Death voiced by Jamie Chung. The character will guide an artist through his life and prepare him to face his eventual death. Ah, yes, dude, that just sounds dope to me already. The next I'm going to just try to run through as quick as I can because, again, I knew this was going to be long. Don't mind me. Just go along with the ride, guys. Disney is focusing on Fox franchises, Avatar, and Planet of the Apes. Okay, with the new acquisition, of course that was going to happen. They're looking at intellectual property is now in like, ooh, what sells? What can we do with this? And you put the right people in the right job for the right project, and you know you can make money. And Mickey Mouse, you know, his eyes always have those fucking cash bags in them. Aladdin, Disney considering options for live-action sequel film. I have not seen the remake or the live-action yet. How do you guys feel about it? If you guys have seen it, is it worth it? Are we going to see another purple genie? How do you guys feel about the genie? So far, it's been a mixed reaction. Same thing with Lion King, but people are going to watch them. So, is it a bad thing? I don't know. Next one is going to be interesting to me. Disney unveils anti-princess character influenced by Adam's Family and Tim Burton. Villainous, a limited run Halloween-themed rendition of Disney California Adventure's World of Color, Light and Water show operates around the idea that evil doesn't necessarily have to be or mean bad. At the center of the concept is a new character, Shelley Marie, with her name a play on Frankenstein's author, Mary Shelley. She's here to prove, much like the infamous horror story, that one shouldn't judge a book by its cover. I'm kind of cool with that. Kind of interesting. Next one's going to be Method Man, cast as Ben Urich in Marvel's podcast adaptation. I know it sounds weird. I don't know if any of you guys have heard about the Wolverine podcast, but there's a not live action. It's a scripted show, and it's Wolverine on a case and him just trying to live his life as a mutant, and his interactions are really cool. It's a show. It's, again, a scripted show. It's worth checking out if you guys are comic fans, if you guys haven't checked it out. It's only, though, strictly on Stitcher. Stitcher happens to be the podcast app I listen to for all my podcasts. Not mine, not the Comic Syndicate podcast or Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes podcast or even the Audio Chronicles podcast. I listen to everything else minus those three just because I don't listen to us and I hate my voice anyways. So it's worth checking out, but this one is going to be also strictly on Stitcher. I'm kind of down with it. This or that first season is going to be, I guess we're going to have the Fantastic Four on there. They're going to have Spider-Man. It sounds cool, and it's something I need to check out. It's going to come out later in the fall this year. But again, strictly on Stitcher Premium. Next one is going to be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. recruits Agent Carter star Hayley Atwell. Agent Carter herself, Hayley Atwell, will reportedly reprise her role as Peggy Carter in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in Season 7. And that's going to be the last season for that. Next one is going to be Marvel's Ghost Rider Hellstrom shows are officially linked as, quote-unquote, adventure into fear. According to Marvel head of TV Jeff Loeb, Hulu's upcoming Ghost Rider and Hellstrom shows will be linked as Adventure into Fear shows. To do it with these characters, yeah, it's the spirits of vengeance, so you kind of need to go the darker route because it's not mystical, it's just more dark. I mean, that's pretty much what it is. Kind of interested about that. Disney unimpressed with the New Mutants, doubtful of box office potential. This movie I looked up because, again, I love the fuck out of New Mutants. Just the younger mutants that are misfits, and not just the X-Men misfits, but the younger kids that don't have someone to look up to or a role model yet, and they're just a bunch of teen angst motherfuckers that latch on to each other. And Sunspot, Cannonball, fucking Moonstar, Danny Moonstar, Magic, these characters together are dope. And the fact that Marvel, it looks, after today's showing that I pulled up, it looks like it's going to get launched 2020 next year, but it's really looking like one of those movies after the acquisition from Disney buying out Fox, that it might not happen at all. I hope it doesn't go into limbo, which it looks like it is there. This one is going to be just the last few, and it's going to be comics strictly, guys. Comic news. Greg Capullo signs new DC contract, joins Scott Snyder on Secret Project. I grew up on Greg Capullo's art. Greg Capullo announced that not only has he signed a new DC contract, but he will join his frequent collaborator, Scott Snyder. He's on one of the polls in the beginning of the show. Scott Snyder on a Secret Project artist, Greg Capullo, announced on Saturday that he has signed a new contract with DC, along with news comes word that Capullo will join his frequent Batman collaborator again. Scott Snyder, love those guys, the way Scott Snyder writes, the way these guys write and work together, art, it is, fuck, these guys are fucking sick, they're beasts together. The only favorite team I have besides that, I'll go into shortly, Spider-Man villain Morbius lands Marvel Comics series ahead of solo film. So Morbius is a movie that's going to come out next year, and they're going to launch a new comic, I believe, in the fall. And it's Morbius, he's a vampire, and they're just going to give him a solo outing again. It's been a while since he has. Next one's going to be, again, just comics. Absolute Carnage finale teases a major Marvel death. A major Marvel character won't survive the finale of the event series, Absolute Carnage. And then next one's going to be Marvel Editor-in-Chief reveals hidden surprise in random copies of Absolute Carnage number one, which did drop last Wednesday, the day I was fucking terrible and sick and just beat up, banged up. If you picked up a copy of Donny Cates and Ryan Stegman's Absolute Carnage number one, you may want to double check your copy to see if there's anything extra hidden inside. And this is a direct quote. Remember last week when I mentioned you should look closely at your copy of Absolute Carnage number one? Marvel Editor-in-Chief C.B. Cebulski tweeted, "That's because original Mark Bagley sketches were drawn into 20 random copies. Time to lead back to your local comic shop and check every copy." According to Marvel.com, the sketches by the Carnage co-creator will be by the back cover of 20 randomly selected issues. Those who are lucky enough to find one in their copy are encouraged to post a photo of the sketch on social media using the hashtags Absolute Carnage and Carnage, hashtag Carnage Rules. I've only seen one. Only one person has noticed it or found it or has posted it. And it's just something cool to see again. Okay, that's pretty much all I have for comic news, guys. And if it sounded like I was going to blow that fucking comic right now, please, it's probably because I am. I love the fuck out of this title. This is a Marvel Comics title. It came out last week. It is Absolute Carnage number one. Donny Cates is the writer. Ryan Stegman is the artist. J.P. Mayer and Frank Martin, I love their work. They actually work together on East of West. And they're coloring and inking the fuck out of this. And it's an amazing fucking title, guys. I'm going to try to go through it as quickly as I can, but I want to give you enough information. And I want you guys to read it, because this is a straight-up fucking horror story. The way Donny Cates writes and the way he happens to break down this one in particular is Chapter 1, The Bleeding King. Okay, look, I'm not going to sugarcoat this for you. Things are about to get really fucking bad. If you want to survive this, I need you to pay attention to every word I'm about to tell you. A long time ago, there was this god named Null. He was here before anything else. He ruled over the endless. Nothing was pre-creation, the Abyss. He's the one who created the symbionts. He's their god. Or he was, I guess. See, Null waged war across the cosmos, killing everything living and bright, everything that threatened his infinite Black Kingdom. The symbiotes rose up against him, and now he's caged inside what we used to think was the planet of the symbiotes. Turns out, it's not a planet at all. Just billions of his own creations forming a huge cage around him, holding him down. He's there right now, sleeping, imprisoned, in the void, for now. As he's breaking down exactly what's happened, and every mutant, every superhero that's ever been infected, any person even, animal that has been infected with a Venom symbiote or Venom Carnage symbiote at all, you have a huge fucking target on your back. Anyway, flash forward a couple billion years and you got me. I bonded with one of the Null's creatures. Together we went by Venom, but you know that already. We, me, and the other, we aren't together anymore, but we had a good run. But see, my symbiote, it didn't just bond with me. It has a bit of a complicated past. It had other hosts, lots of other hosts. Every time one of its offspring bonded with someone, well, it turns out the symbiotes just don't leave their hosts the way they found them. No, they leave with the little piece behind, wrapped around your DNA. It's how their species communicates information about their host to the larger hive. This thing, that little piece, we're calling it the Codex. And again, these are just the first few fucking pages as Eddie Brock is breaking this down. And first of all, written give you plenty of exposition. This is what's going down in the fucking story. And even though you're getting so much exposition in such a little time, it's so fluid and it goes so well with the way fucking Ryan Stegman draws this. I used to love the way Todd McFarlane drew Spider-Man. I think this guy's my new favorite fucking artist ever that has ever drawn Spider-Man. Andrew, you asked me that a few weeks ago. That's your answer, homie. I love it. And the way he's blending in, like the way the DNA samples or the DNA works and like the red blood cells and the white cells and the way he's breaking this down is gorgeous. Now, my symbiote and its offspring, they've been cut off from the hive for a long damn time. But, and here's the important part, the thinking is, if all those little pieces of the codex can be collected, whoever holds them all can reconnect to the hive. And maybe, just maybe, they can talk to God. And they can wake him back up. New York City, now. And then, we all die. Any questions? As he's talking to Dylan. Now, I've been reviewing Venom for quite a while now. It's one of my favorite titles on the shelves right now, and I just love it because, again, this team together, Donnie, Cates, and Ryan Stegman really rival, in my opinion, Greg Capullo and Scott Snyder writing. Like, that team is so dope, but to see this team this passionate about it and the way they are together on social media is gorgeous to see. Dylan happens to be his son. And there's a huge story, and I'm not going to spoil anything yet, but in a nutshell, Eddie Brock currently does not have the Venom symbiote. He's protecting his son that he hasn't told yet is his son. So the man who's trying to collect these pieces, he's not a man. Carnage, resurrected somehow by some kind of cult that worships Null. And his whole game plan right now, Eddie Brock, is just walking his son like, I got to figure out a plan to keep you safe. And if you guys have been paying attention, if you guys are reading Venom along with me, when I do read them, here's a few things you got to pay attention to those. And even this title in particular. Every scene that you see Eddie Brock in, every scene that you see Venom in, that's always a weird low point. But pay attention to the art, because every time you see those scenes, it's always raining. Like, there's always this weird dark cloud following Eddie Brock. And again, it's one of those small details where it's like, it's like they're making him just look so much more relatable. And I love the fuck out of Eddie Brock. Like, so again, he's trying to keep now his son, Dylan, doesn't know it's Eddie Brock's his dad yet, safe. So Eddie Brock feels like, shit, someone's following us. And they both, Eddie has his hoodie on, full thick beard. Just they go into a subway station, and as they're trying to get away from this person that's after them now, they get nudged, pushed straight up into the subway as an oncoming subway is coming down the tracks. It's just really beautiful, the art. If you pay attention to the small things, there is someone that says, "No, move out of the way." And as they're there, Eddie tells Dylan, like, just don't touch the tracks. He's like, don't worry, I got you. And they're fucked. Like, they're fucked. And as this subway is about to come down, this person is not a person. It's the symbiote. And again, the way these panels are presented and the way the symbiote works and how it works with Eddie. Eddie's like, you know us. As the symbiote, the Venom symbiote, not latched onto Eddie yet, stops this fucking subway. Now I'm looking at this like, okay, you saved two people, especially one, your host, but you fucked up a lot of people on the subway right now, Venom, and he's already framed for murder by Cletus Kasady. So everyone's already knows, like, okay, shoot him on sight. So as this happens, Dylan's like, Eddie, are you? He's like, yeah, kid, we're fine, as he's fully Venomed out now. You're back? And this symbiote says, I never left, Eddie. Been watching over you. I can hear you again. How is that? Bonded with dark magic. We are better now. Can feel you resisting us, Eddie. Not bonding fully. I'm sorry. I can't do this again. I'm not strong enough. Sorry too, Eddie. But we must be together now. He is coming. As some cops show up. All right, Venom. We're going to take you in. We're going to take you down right now. As the Venom symbiote's telling him the whole time, we don't have time for this, Eddie. We gotta get the fuck out of here. And Eddie's trying to talk the policeman down, and it's to no avail. It's like, nope, motherfucker, I said, put your hands up. As there's an explosion, and we see now Carnage. Backstory on that real quick is, again, you gotta pay attention to the way Ryan Stegman draws Venom and Cletus Kasady. So it's the corpse of Cletus Kasady with the mind of Cletus Kasady, who, again, precursor, is a homicidal, psychotic killer. He's a fucking maniac. So once the Venom's original suit bonded with it, it created its own entity, being Carnage. And that Cletus Kasady, Carnage, has died within the past few years. If you pay attention to the way Ryan Stegman draws it, you can see a fucking corpse. Like, there are glimpses where it looks like Cletus Kasady, and he has his hair, and you see his face singed or burned and, like, carcassed out. Just those small details like that. I love. As they just go at it real quick. And even the symbiote is like, Carnage is here. We're fucked, dude. We've never fought anything like this before. And it's Carnage, but he has the Grendel symbiote on him. That's the god. Like, we're fucked. And Eddie's like, you know what? Fuck it. We gotta stop him. As Eddie tries to start fighting him, and Hell Carnage just answers back like, oh no, we're different, we're God now. As he just nails, clobbers the fuck out of, and starts beating down on Eddie Brock, Venomed out, and fucks him up. And Eddie says, and as he's knocked out, plastered now, in his Venom symbiote, but the mask is off now, never been hit that hard in my life. As the symbiote tells him, your orbital socket is broken, Eddie. Your brain is hemorrhaging. Can fix you, but we need to run away from this. As Eddie's like, no, this is my problem to fix. We end this right. Listen, as the cops show up, and he wants the cops just to take Dylan. He's like, run, get the fuck out of here. Take Dylan. The play on words, too, if you pay attention to that. The way Eddie almost spills it so many fucking times is just gorgeous. And Eddie's beat the fuck up as the Carnage comes after him now. Or I guess it's Dark Carnage coming after him now. Eddie has no fucking choice. And he's gonna fuck himself up, too. He grabs the rail, grabs onto fucking Carnage, and it's able to buy him some fucking time. So, as they're barely able to escape this, Dylan's like, and they're walking again. in the rain, and we see Eddie's just his head down and fucked up. "You haven't said anything since we left the subway. Are you okay?" Asking Eddie. This symbiote answers, "Eddie is okay. He's sleeping." "What? What?" And the symbiote says, "I've placed Eddie in a sort of coma while I work to repair his body. But yes, he's okay." And he's like, "Okay, so alien piloting my brother," which is what Dylan thinks Eddie is in. "And we've arrived. I'll wake Eddie back up now." "Arrived? Where?" And as Eddie wakes up now from this healing weird coma state, and again, they arrive at an apartment complex. And if you pay attention, if you see the 616 on the door, 616 is the Marvel Universe, currently comic continuity. Every other multiverse dimension is a different world, but comic book-wise continuity, everything that I've read my whole life, Marvel Universe is always 616. That is the main universe. And it's really cool because the dude answers the door and he's like, "Peter, it's or Parker, it's for you." And again, if you pay attention to the details, once they show Peter Parker and the way Ryan Stegman draws him half in his Spider-Man outfit but with his mask off, every scene we see Spider-Man is, you see the night and day aspect between these two characters, this pure character, pure of heart, Peter Parker. And you, sunlight, day, you see sunshine. If you pay attention to every Eddie Brock scene, is the opposite. Like, "I'm bad, I'm not a good fucking person. And I'm living, you know, in rain, and just this is my fucking world." This is my favorite chapter, I think. Chapter 2, The Godson. And it's really just the two of them sitting together, three of them, in a small diner, Eddie Brock, with a hoodie on, with some weird fucking goggles on. And it's essentially the symbiote still working on his orbital fucking busted socket and his brain hemorrhaging still. As Eddie has to ask the one person he dislikes the most, Peter Parker, Spider-Man, for help. And as Dylan just hates the kid, and he's like, "Okay, wait, Eddie, what the fuck? You're telling me gods and monsters and carnage is back? This is fucking bad. How the fuck did you fuck up this bad that all these bad things are happening? And why, like, why you? Only you, of course." And it's funny, because we just see these two characters together and how Dylan and Eddie Brock interact. And I've posted this up on social media and I think Facebook as well, on the Comic Syndicate Facebook site. And he's like, "Dylan, why don't you go to the fucking other table, eat your cereal or whatever." As Spider-Man looks at him, and the way Ryan Stegman draws Spider-Man in these panels is just gorgeous. And Peter's like, "Okay, I need fucking answers right now. Who's the fucking kid? He keeps calling you Eddie, and you keep referring to him just by Dylan. Explain this to me." He's like, "No, I can't." He's like, "No, motherfucker, if you want my help, I need to know everything that's going on." Side, "He's my kid, Pete. Hence the immediate dislike of you, yeah. Does he know? No, that he is yours. Because I'm hearing a lot of Eddie and not a lot of Dad. It's complicated. Spider-Man, it's really not. Like, it's a smart-ass conversation between two characters that you know that just play so well off each other. No, I haven't told him yet. Eddie, I know. I know, it's just, if he knows, then it makes it real. And then it is real. And then he'd be stuck with me." And the way Ryan Stegman draws these facial expressions with Spider-Man, with his mask on, Eddie, growing up, not knowing your father, it's, and the facial expressions, you need to tell him. And it's just a beautiful bonding moment between two guys that, again, genuinely don't like each other. They hate each other for the most part. They're the complete opposites of each other, and it's fucked up that Eddie even has to ask for help. And the one person he doesn't want to ask for help. And for them to have this beautiful coffee diner room scene with just dialogue and conversation and this beautiful art is like, shit, these guys are fucking dope together. they can be buddies. Like, it's the yin and the yang completely. As a fucking mugger comes in with a fucking ski mask on, as he walks in, he sees, like, ah, shit. And again, the way they work on each other. Flip a coin? Nah, you got it. Come on, Dylan. You can finish Spider-Man's fries. And it's like the way they are together is just fun and stupid, and it shouldn't be that cool. But you know these characters, and that's exactly what it is. Okay, next game plan is Eddie's like, okay, we need to find a way to stop these. Just anyone that's ever been infected by Venom, by Carnage, by any symbiote whatsoever, and there are a grip all over the 616 Marvel Universe. They have to find a way to... The codex is pretty much in their spinal cord for the most part. So you're going to get your neck ripped out of your body. So Carnage can stack these up and become stronger. And the Maker is the only person that Eddie can think of. And again, the Venom comics that I have reviewed, he's had issues with the Venom symbiote kind of fucking with his thoughts and feelings and emotions, letting Eddie think like, you have cancer, you're dying, giving him false memories because this Venom symbiote didn't want to be alone because it knew Eddie had to be prepared and not be weakened, I guess, by knowing you have a son. Like, you have to be strong and prepared for what's fucking coming. And if you look at it that way, it's really fucked up. Like, the symbiote was looking out for him the whole time. And essentially, it's your symbiote. Like, you work together. I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's a symbiotic relationship, and you feed off each other. You need each other. So just to see now Spider-Man and Eddie Brock, Venom and Dylan going to the Maker, which honestly is a twisted version, an evil version of Mr. Fantastic Reed Richards, except from the Ultimate Universe. That actually portrays like, I'm going to help you out. We need to stop this Carnage thing. You're right. He's terrible. He's bad. But Spider-Man also brings his godson over, Norman Osborn. I know it sounds weird if that name sounds familiar. Norman Osborn, the original, is the original Green Goblin. His son he was also a goblin eventually, but got rehabilitated, and he named his son after his dad, so we have Norman Osborn II. Now, a little fucking kid, but some events that happened prior, Norman Osborn was turned into the Red Goblin by a Carnage symbiote before. So now the things they have to do is fucked up, because even the Maker says, all right, let me strap this little kid into this machine and we can pull it straight out of him. Spider-Man's like, no, this is my godson. You're not going to do it if it hasn't been fucking tested yet. And the Maker's like, find me anyone else that has been infected by a Venom or Carnage symbiote before so we can work on them, and I'll do the experiment on them first so you can see for yourself. I'm trying to help you fuckers out. And the first place they go is Ravencroft Institute for the Criminally Insane now. And they go for Norman Osborn, the original one. Osborn infected himself with what was left of the Carnage symbiote, called himself the Red Goblin. Sick son of a bitch infected his grandson, Normie, too. Pete was able to pull Norman down, but something changed in him. As they go into this, the best way to look at it is Arkham Asylum, but for the criminally insane, and it just these panels and pages and corridors, the way, okay, look, Ryan Stegman draws is a fucking amazing, but the way J.P. Mayer and Frank Martin put the colors and the inks onto these pages, it just looks so eerie. And you see this long corridor, this long hallway of cells, as Venom now and Spider-Man break in. So their plan is to literally kidnap Norman Osborn, break him the fuck out of the penitentiary. And you know what? Fuck it. He's done terrible fucking things. So let's have him be the, not scapegoat, but the first person you try this on, Maker. And if it doesn't work, then you know what? It's not a total loss, because Homeboy needs to probably fucking get put in the electric chair already anyways. And again, these panels are just gorgeous as they finally get to the main cell. And again, they do have help. But again, these long corridors, these long conversations just happen and go down until Spider-Man finally feels something's going on. As we hear, blam, bang, we hear the alarm go off of the whole fucking penitentiary and how dark it gets now. It's because of these loud sirens. It's fucking with Venom's symbiote and it starts freaking out and wanting to jump away and get away. And he's like, too loud, Eddie, make it stop, as it's hurting both of them. As Spider-Man tries to go to work, but as we see down the corridor, we see Cletus Kasady walking one by one to each cell. And they're dark. He pulls his chest open and he pulls out maggots, tossing maggots in each fucking cell block, each as he's walking down this corridor. And he's infecting everyone in these cells with the Carnage symbiote. So Eddie Brock finally picks up a gun and is able to shoot out the alarm, which kind of gets him back on track to where he needs to be. And he's like, Spider-Man's like, fuck, are you okay? He's like, we'll live. We doing this? Or? And they really have to work together now. As Eddie says, my other feels it before I do. Sends a knife into my psyche to tell me to stop. To listen, Spider-Man, hey, what was that? Are you all? My other screaming in my brain. Never felt anything like it. It can sense them. Do you, Pete? As you just get these eerie pages and panels now. Do you hear that? It sounds like locusts. It sounds like its teeth. As we see again, everyone that was in the prison cell before. And we see four armed Carnages. And we see Carnage in the background controlling these Carnages he has just created. As they're literally at the cell now, like, we gotta get out of here. We can't fight this, Eddie says. No, if he kills Norman and takes his codex, he just gets stronger. We have to save Norman Osborn. And the way they work together, as they're against a wall, a red webhead, you ready? Oh, and Spider-Man's like, motherfucker, we're literally gonna have to go through this. Everything inside of my other comes roaring to life, and I remember for the first time since the dragon, since Null, since the loss, the betrayal, I remember why I do this, why I let this alien attach itself to me, make me more than I was, as we see these sick fucking panels of an army of Carnages against these two heroes. I just think it was a parasite that it took from me and never gave anything back. But here, fighting for my life, I remember, it gives me exactly what I need. Because sometimes what I need is pain. And that's Eddie Brock just scrapping. And how even Peter has to remind him, like, dude, these are innocent people. Like, don't kill them. Fuck them up. But don't kill them. And Eddie's like, you motherfucker, we gotta get out of here. So again, the dichotomy between these two characters, the night and the day, the yin and the yang, as we see Carnage now. And this page is dope. Pay attention to each character in here. And the way he draws it, we just see a spinal cord of Carnage, but the upper torso of Carnage fully formed. But the way, again, it's just a corpse that's attached to it, starts fucking up Spider-Man. And even Venom sees it, and he's like, no, like, I gotta help him out. And Carnage tells Spider-Man, we've missed you. Do you want to see a magic trick? As he throws Spider-Man across the fucking room and opens up the cell. Isn't this a treat? As Norman Osborn now is the cell room where Spider-Man happens to land. And Eddie's fighting his way, picks up the fucking door. They just got broken down. And this is really fucked up. They're literally in a cell now. And Eddie, what are you doing? We have to get him out of, as he's holding the door with these Carnages out there in this cell. I'll hold the door. You get us out of here. Spider-Man, what? How? We're trapped in a prison cell with three-foot concrete walls on all sides. And don't be clever. Be strong. And Spider-Man's like, right. This is going to hurt. As we see him just start webbing up his fist and just working, punching this fucking wall, beat up already. As Eddie's trying, like, come on, dude, we need to get the fuck out of here. And it's just fucked up once Carnage finally breaks the door down and is able to gain the body of Norman Osborn, which is pretty fucking sick and twisted. That was issue number one. If I was going to blow any fucking comic this year, this would be it. Donny Cates and Ryan Stegman, I love those guys together, and the fact that this is an event and there are going to be tie-in issues all across the Marvel Universe with everyone that is dealing with shit. And again, if you have been infected, which is a lot of people in the Marvel Universe, you pretty much have a target on your back. This is a huge fucking issue. It's $7.99 for issue number one. I know that sounds pricey. It is pricey. It's like fucking 50, 60 fucking pages of just fucking dope art and writing. It flew by. It's a great story. It's a horror fucking story. And I love Spider-Man. I also love Eddie Brock. So to see the dark with the light together is beautiful. And just the way they work, the dichotomy, I love. All right, guys, that was Book of the Week, and I'm reading a lot. I'm writing a lot, which is fantastic, and I love. It's just more work, and yeah, fuck it, guys. Thanks for listening this week. If you guys like the podcast, share the podcast more than anything is shared, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. You guys are dope, awesome. Feel free to hit me up on the Comic Syndicate. Tell me what you guys feel about this episode. If you guys liked the review, if you wanted to talk about anything else, feel free to hit me up at ForTheVillain on Twitter, at Comic_Syndicate on Instagram. Again, subscribe to the podcast more than anything, and I will catch you guys next week. Peace out.